We are very conscious that there are young people listening right now, being off school, but we do feel that some young adults might benefit from our next conversation. It is time for...
It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
Okay, we're going to talk about the HBO show. It's on Netflix. It's called The Idol. The 6-episode series came to an end earlier this week, but from start to finish, it was surrounded by controversy. Rachel Cook, our sex and relationship therapist, mental health consultant, is on the line to discuss why, what, who, what is going on. Good morning, Rachel.
Hiya, Jen. There's a lot going on with this show, I have to say. So I'm happy to be talking about it because I'm getting a lot of questions about it.
We're going to park the terrible acting in it for a second, okay? Yeah. What is the show about? For anyone who hasn't seen it, what's it about?
Yeah, so it basically follows pop star Jocelyn, who's played by Lily Rose Depp, and she's just suffered a breakdown following the death of her mum, and she's in the process of kind of staging a comeback, and she's in a, you know, vulnerable state, and basically she falls under the influence of this kind of dubious nightclub owner who is called Tedros, and that's played by Abel Tesfaye, who's also known as The Weeknd.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's basically what it's about. So they embark on a kind of very sexually charged relationship, and it's all very, very toxic and weird and badly acted.
Okay, it's getting a lot of attention at the moment.
It is.
But why?
I think it's partly getting the attention because they put it out there. You know, it's been advertised for ages as being this kind of scandalous Hollywood romance and, like, you know, something like you've never seen before, and that it was billed as being really shocking. And actually what people have found is, although there's a huge amount of sex in it and lots of kind of nudity and quite graphic stuff going on, that actually it's been unbelievably tedious. The acting was really poor. Actually, you know, how the episodes played out, there was meant to be 6 episodes and there only ended up being 5, which was a weird switch around right at the end. And so people are just confused as to how, especially because this is from the makers of Euphoria, which many people thought was an amazing show, and there were loads of other kind of people involved, people from The Simpsons, people from Schitt's Creek, you know, loads of different shows who were involved in this. So it's just kind of wild that it's so bad.
Yeah, it said in one review it uses nudity and profanity and drugs and semen and a mental illness and excessive cigarette smoking in a barefaced effort to seem cool and subversive. Would you agree?
Yeah, so, okay. You know, I think for people saying that it's, you know, nudity is wrong, you know, it's you know, it's not particularly about the nudity or even the graphicness of, you know, the kind of sex scenes, because I think there can be something very interesting in that. You know, we've seen shows like Sex Education and even Euphoria to a degree, although it has its kind of people also criticizing that for being, you know, very kind of male gaze, misogynistic objectifying of women. But, you know, there's the potential for shows like this to be kind of having a bit of cultural commentary, you know, critical commentary on, you know, could be celebrity status, on, you know, the state of kind of the media and capitalism. And there's ways for this to be interesting commentary. And this show just doesn't feel like it was. It just feels like it's massively glorifying, being very, very, you know, psychologically, mentally unwell. You know, literally they talk about mental illness being sexy repeatedly in this show.
Repeatedly?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. So is it a toxic relationship? Is that what it is? Is it just, I mean, is that what it's about? The two characters in this really toxic relationship? I mean, and if it is,
yeah,
surely if we watch something like that, we would learn from something like that, or would you say no?
You mean, you would hope, right? But it seems like it's a lot of toxic relationships going on. You know, it's this person, Jocelyn, the pop star, who has, you know, her kind of entourage around her. But everybody is kind of, you know, it's all about power. It's all about power play and people getting one up on each other and who can be the most seen, who has the most clout, this sort of stuff. You know, and also the fact that, you know, it's boring. It's just boring to watch. So I think that they could have made a point about feminism, because I think there is, as I said, a way to do nudity and, you know, women's empowerment, which can involve, you know, women making their own choices about their bodies. And, it, you know, there's a possibility of that. But actually, there's just a lot of points that are kind of quite weird in this show.
So it does it glorify the toxic relationship? Is that what it's doing?
I think it does that. Okay. Toxic relationships of different kinds. Okay. It doesn't really give you a proper sense of, you know, why that. A bit like 50 Shades of Grey. It basically says, actually, you should probably want this. This is a good idea. You know, there's a scene in it where there's an intimacy coordinator who's basically trying to take care of the character, Lily Rose Depp's character, Jocelyn. And, you know, they make out in the show that this intimacy coordinator who's trying to protect Lily, you know, Jocelyn, the character, they make out that she, that this person is kind of stopping a great time and kind of, you know, being a killjoy in the show. And so the audience is encouraged to really dislike the intimacy coordinator. You know, there's another person on Jocelyn's team, a person called Xander, who's later berated as, you know, one of those college internet people for suggesting that someone recovering from a breakdown is too vulnerable to do a nude photo shoot. You know, so there's a lot of toxicity in here that could be talked about and discussed in a different way. And also the relationship between Jocelyn and Tedros is just off the charts in terms of, you know, they're abusive towards each other. They're verbally abusive. There's a lot of kind of, you know, stuff that really is not consensual. There's very little consent-based stuff going on. And so, again, that's dangerous for people to be watching.
Yeah, you think so? I mean, do you think shows like this are problematic for younger viewers?
I mean, I'd say in some ways they can be problematic for anyone. I think, you know, for adults, they can make their own choices. But as we've talked about many times before, Jen, you know, things like mainstream porn, if you're watching that for hours a day and it shows a very particular way of engaging between people, it shows only a very particular kind of body, only certain activities, you begin to become normalized to that and believe that that's what people want or that's what you should do. And so I think, you know, I'm glad that there has been a lot of outrage about this show because, you know, people are saying it's just, you know, awful in so many ways, but there can still be a kind of normalizing effect. So I'm not trying to say, not trying to sound puritanical with that and say we shouldn't have sex and nudity on shows, but I think it can be done so much more sensitively. And certainly there can be people, you know, well under 18 who are watching this, who, you know, how are they going to really know any better that this is actually, you know, not the way people should be treating each other?
Okay, let's talk about the sex scenes for a second. And just a reminder, this is not for little ears because I know kids are off school. Are they unrealistic, over the top? Are they too graphic? How did you find when you watched them? Were you like, oh, this is just a bit too much?
Yeah, I don't think, again, that it's about the actual scenes, because I know that, you know, I think back to the HBO show Girls, and there were some quite graphic scenes in that as well, and quite like boundary pushing stuff, and various other shows where if it's done where it allows you to really think and you can you really have a sense of the impact on the characters and that there's kind of a cohesiveness, you know, to way that the way that that's communicated and played out. But here there just wasn't, you know, there's just a bit like 50 Shades of Grey. There's a lot of very sexual scenes with not much run up to them. And, you know, there's very little chemistry between the two main characters, which is a real shame, which also means that you're not really getting into a sense of the, you know, the characters and you know, the kind of relationship between them. So you're getting a very empty view of how it's all about sort of power and looks and aesthetics, but very little about the actual psychology behind the people and what's driving them, which just makes it, again, very boring to watch, even though it's so graphic.
Would you say shows like this glorify misogyny and sexual objectification of women?
Yeah, that I do think is happening because, again, it's not about the nudity itself. It's not about the sex scenes. It's about the way that it's handled. So, for instance, you know, Lily Rose Depp's character is in very little clothing or, you know, naked in almost every scene in this show. And the men in the show are always pretty much fully clothed. You know, which is also just a weird thing. You know, it's kind of like we're talking about the potential for female empowerment. There's also the potential for this to be looking at, you know, the emptiness of Hollywood and how it's not something to strive for and it's not the right values in life. But it just doesn't seem to be making that commentary. It just seems to be saying, actually, it's OK to treat women really badly and get away with it. And it's also OK for women to treat men badly as well. And there you go. That's just how it is. And that's, you know, kind of sensationalized.
Yeah. But do you think we're going to see lots more shows like this, or is there any sign of a shift in another direction? I know this has been reviewed terribly, but Lottie brought us an entertainment story that, you know, people tend to watch shows that are terrible. They just get hooked on them. They can't stop looking away, like Love Island. Now, there's no comparison here, but do you think we're going to see more shows like this? Like,
do you know, I think it's a bit like dating apps. You know, we're still in that stage where everybody is saying that they despise dating apps, that they don't find it, you know, a good way of dating. You know, and to some degree, I would say dating apps had their day. You know, there was many years ago where it was something that was very new and interesting and exciting for people, and a different way to kind of connect and discover yourself and explore things, and also a safer way for certain people to reach out, especially those in the kind of queer community. You know, and now we're seeing that people are just completely jaded. They're so kind of overwhelmed and apathetic and, you know, unable to kind of engage in more healthy ways with dating apps. But we still haven't yet seen enough kind of return or to in-person, you know, dating and meeting, or a new way of meeting each other. And I think that's similar for these shows, because they make money, because people are, you know, kind of stuck in the grind of just wanting to put on Netflix at the end of the day or watch whatever it is. I think we are going to see more of these kind of just not very interesting, well acted, or kind of, you know, very meaningful, insightful or interesting shows. And I think that there also is beginning to be a turn where people are going, hang on, do I really want to be spending my time watching this shite?
Okay, so what if you're a parent and you're listening to this and you're teenager, young adult in your house is watching this? Should there be a conversation around it, and what would you advise them to say?
Definitely. I would say, you know, I know that this show is out. I would say start by asking them if they've watched it or they're interested in watching it, and just open up the conversation. You know, if you've seen it yourself, you could maybe share a little bit about how it impacted you. Ideally, you're not preaching to the to young people, to kids. You know, if you're just telling them this is terrible, you shouldn't watch it, they're going to be all the more likely to watch it. Like, of course they are. So you're going to do much better if you can kind of open it up and say, look, there were some things that made me feel really uncomfortable. How do you feel about that? You know, hopefully it will open up conversations around consent and, you know, what is very unrealistically, you know, sort of depicted in media, and the way in which our sort of swipe culture has gone, and this kind of focus on, you know, celebrity and sort of status. And so hopefully you'll be able to have conversations that aren't just about the sex scenes, but hopefully will also be about the sex in this and the portrayal of relationships, but that you might learn something from your kid as well, because they're, you know, up and coming younger generations. They have lots of lingo that, you know, older generations don't yet have or don't yet understand. So hopefully you'll both find it interesting, engaging and connecting.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. As always, that is Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She's on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with the knee on the end.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.